for double question because it's hard with UCT. So, you know, so, you know, we understand the new energy ratings norms are expected to, you know, come on, you know, by July 2022. Okay. So I want to understand from you, you know, the stance on the price side that is expected to be taken by the industry, especially in a scenario where not all for the consumer. So I just want to understand your thoughts on, you know, the energy efficiency norm and all that. Thank you.
Okay. So on the rating revision, the understanding is right. The it's supposed to be effective from January 2022. However, the industry has represented to the ministry, and the reason underlying was that the COVID and other underlying factor which forced us to defer this rating revision from last year is still prevailing it. Although our request to go for a one-year extension, however, the ministry has given currently a six-month extension, and we'd like to review again how the, you know, situations on the ground is improving it. Having said that, as we always maintain that our energy standard ratings are much, much stringent compared to even the developed countries for that matter. But since our government is strictly following the energy efficiency, all manufacturers have to follow in line with the same. In terms of the cost increase, yes, any energy rating requirement will increase the cost, because the underlying components largely are two. The components like your compressor, controllers, and the heat exchangers required to upgrade in order to have the compliance with the new energy rating. If I look from that perspective, to give you a clear cost increase perspective, you can compare today a five-star air conditioner, which after the rating revision will go to a four-star. So today, the difference which you have between four-star and five-star will continue to have it, or will continue to bear it, when we go for a rating revision under the manufacturing cost increase and the end price consumer increase as well. Now, whether it will have impact on the demand or not, what we have seen generally the trend, and that is a good one which I can look from the consumer perspective. Today, despite the price difference of almost 8,000 to 9,000 between three-star and five-star, the contribution of five-star is increasing it. To the best of my knowledge and what the data we have, it is now almost touching in the excess of 20% for all brand puts together. And Voltas also is, in fact, much more than that. So it clearly shows a trend that the consumers are preferring to go for a higher star rated appliances. And that's the trend is not as we have observed in air conditioner. We are observing this trend in almost all appliances. In fact, if you look from the washing machine perspective, which is the least energy guzzler in terms of the power bill, but still people are preferring to opt for a five-star rather going for a three-star and so on, which means that the adoption by the consumers on the energy rating is well accepted, and consumers want might to pay a price slightly higher if they are getting a good energy product and can help them out in saving the cost in a longer term, considering each appliance has a life of almost in excess of 7 years, be a washing machine or be the air conditioner as well. We all know air conditioner life being specified as a 10 years for that matter. Hope, Rahul, I have justified to your questions what you asked.
Yes, I just want to double check. You said the difference between 4-star and 5-star is about 8,000 to 9,000. That's what you said. It's not 3 to 5.
No, 3 to 5. 3 star to 5 star. Each star rating will go to a difference of 3,500 to 4,000.
Okay. That is. So the second question I have got, given the trust on this local manufacturing sourcing from the government, you know, on APs. Can you give some sense on, you know, the companies which have lost market share? Or you could just indicate, you know, how market share has moved over the last 2 years. Some of the top 5-6 companies, you know, ever since this trust on local manufacturing has happened.
See, what is seen, Rahul, is if I look from the top 6 of the competition chart, we have not seen any major change. You may find quarter on quarter some positions are undergoing the change between number 3 and number 4 player, or between number 3 and number 5 player. But the first two remain same, what ourselves and LG. And for the rest 4, you fall in the line with Hitachi, Daikin, Lloyd, Samsung, and Blue Star and all. So, among the, if I look from the among top 8 to put on a right perspective, Actually, there is no major change we have seen in the last 2 years into the competition ranking. However, in third party report also, what we get, we are concentrating on the reports are generally covering the top 10 players. The fringe players at the bottom are not being adequately addressed over there. So it will be difficult for us to make any comment among the fringe players who have undergone a change in the ranking and all. But what we have seen over a period of time for the last 1.5 years, the price gap between the private label brand and the recognized brand players have been reduced. And largely that's the reason we were expecting when the stringent standards have come into picture. Because the model, the major impact is on account of the complete ban on our refrigerant filled units. Once you have that, it means none of the players we are recognized for being fringe players can import an air conditioner and put on the shelf of the retailers. And he has to incur some expenditure locally, which will obviously increase their cost and which will further help the recognized brand players to tap those markets, if at all, any kind of market which is still available for those kind of private labelers. The alternative, what has gone over there is, and I will not shy away from that, those old players who have been doing this kind of business model have now resorting to the OEMs because they realize that import may not work in a sustainable way. Rather, we get this unit manufactured from the local OEMs and then put on the shelf life. By virtue of by doing that, they are managing their supply chain, as well as their cost also may slightly come down because the components, two components, which will for the entire industry is the import dependent, rest all can be managed locally with efficient supply chain. So, Prahul, you got the answer?
Yeah, thank you very much. I thought there were some questions, but you know, until the question comes, let me ask another question.
Yeah.
You know, in this quarter which went by, in the second quarter, you've seen a recent traction in the commercial AC business. Could you give us some sense on, you know, the size of the market, market shares of the main players? And how do you see this business evolving, you know, over the next couple of years?
So when I look from the commercial AC, Rahul, it is difficult to assign a particular market because the commercial air conditioner covers a various vertical. If I want to give you an example, even the ductables or air conditioner of a 410 goes under the commercial air conditioner. Then you have a VRF, then you have chillers, then you have, the kind of package unit that all fall under the commercial air conditioner purview. In terms of the overall market, if I'm not wrong, we were expecting somewhere in the range of 5,500 to 6,000 crores. I have to recheck those numbers because that market got impacted because of the last year COVID impact. And in terms of the future potential of this market, obviously, if more and more commercial places are going to be air conditioned, and you find that the commuting way of mode, if you look from the metros and all, there all this kind of package units along with the chillers gets fitted over there. So in that sense, if we look from the future perspective, the future is very good in terms of the commercial air conditioner. It may see some kind of headwinds in this some year because market is yet to revive to the fullest extent. I'm sure in the next 6 to 12 months, most of the offices will have come back to the normal working hours compared to today where we have option to work from home and all. So it has two components, Rahul. One is about the sale of this products, which I talk about it. Second thing is the AMC of the set. The beauty in the commercial conditioner is it is largely a B2B kind of business. And in that sense, the AMC occupies a larger share out of it. So what happens is, if even though, say, example, if I fitted the chillers in one of the commercial building, largely the AMC of that after the warranty period comes to the same manufacturer whose units have been fitted or been installed over there. So that gives a good amount of revenue stream for the commercial air conditioner on a long-term basis, because here as well, the life of the product is as high as almost 10 to 12 years. And then if you can continue with the AMCs, with the contract, with the contractor, you are actually building a long kind of a pipeline revenue for us, for the verticals.
Okay, that's helpful. Just continue with the same thing. Even at, you know, AMC is the larger share of the commercial AC business that you generate. Typically, how is the profitability on that part of it? So I understand normally service is a higher profitable and more profitable business compared to selling the product. So just want to understand your thoughts on this.
So Rahul, generally what happens is the service obviously have a more profit margin compared to the product one. But what is happening is, the over a period of time, this entire vertical also got evolved. And today, you have a tough competition. So let me tell you, give example, the industry-wide kind of retention percentage of the AMC is somewhere around 80 to 85%, which means 15% of the business is still going to the other than the manufacturers whose units have been installed over there. So the beauty is to retain those customers, have a higher percentage of the retentions, so that the, you know, you can continuously flow or continuously earn the revenue out of that. In the, amid of this all kind of competition, obviously the margin also requires to be more competitive, because the B2B, the customer has an option to opt for any other OEMs as the service team in order to carry out those kind of AMC. Because generally the products won't get failure, and in terms of the components are not so strictly, I can say, OEM driven, because still it has some kind of sourcing getting from the third party. So in a way, profitability wise, I would not like to quote any percentage currently, Rahul, but it is still hovering between 25 to 35%, depending upon which client and how many years of retentions you are carrying along with them. Between 25 to 35% of the revenue.
Okay. Thank you. So I'll stop here.
Yeah. Whichever client wants to ask a question may unmute themselves and ask it directly.
Good morning, Manish. Thanks for this call.
Good morning, Krish.
Could you talk a little bit about
Krishna Kumar, I lost your voice, Krishna Kumar. I'm not able to hear you.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about the agency business, particularly on the textile machinery part? How do you see the demand for new machines and new capex? Could you talk a little
Today, if I look from this year of 21, I hope you complete your question. Krishna Kumar, are you there?
KK, sir?
So, if I look from the agency business, from the textile machinery, the 21-22 is like, I can say, a blissful year for the sector. And largely this is because driven by two factors. One is the potentially exponential growth, what we have seen in the textile products, coupled with a China 1+ kind of policy, which the other countries have started adopting the same, which has actually boosted the requirement of the textile machinery. And as we speak today, our principal, which is Lakshmi Machine Work, has a pending order in excess of 2,000 crores to execute over a period of time, which means that the demand is buoyant. And coupled with the, we all know that the government has announced a PLI scheme for the textile sector, which will certainly go well for the both spinning as well as post-spinning machinery. In terms of the competition, as we all know, we represent our Lakshmi Machine Works, And one of our objectives is to maintain the market share or further rather increase the market share of the LMDB in this competitive environment. So in a way that if I look from the market share perspective, LMW is enjoying market share in excess of 60% consistently. In the current year, in fact, it has gone up. However, as we all know, all manufacturers are facing some kind of supply constraints on the component side, which is actually resulting into delay in delivery of the capital machinery. Even despite the principals are working on a basis for that matter. So we are, the sector is looking good after a long, long period of time of a dull kind of situation. And we're hopeful that this PLI scheme, which announced by the government, will also be boosting the demand for the spinning and as well as post-spinning machinery in India. However, since the post-spinning market is very low, as far as the, if I look from the today's scenario, we are not expecting any post-spinning machinery manufacturer will look into having the manufacturing place in India. Probably we still depend upon some of the machinery to come from outside India for a post-spinning business to reach to a largeable scale in order to have the, in order to attract them to have a manufacturing place in India. So, Krishna Kumar, I answered you.
In terms of the post-spinning, sir, and the weaving side, would you tie up with any?
We do have tie-up with the post-spinning manufacturers. In fact, post-spinning contains various sub-activities, and none of the manufacturers have a complete range of the machinery. So we have a almost tie-up of 8 to 9 manufacturers as far as post-spinning business is concerned. Post-spinning, we have, as we all know, with one guy only left in the world. But post-spinning, we already have a tie-up, and we are further increasing our presence in some of the activities in which we are not there today. Say, example, for bleaching, for kind of printing and all, we are looking into some of the principles to associate with, and some of the principles already be tied up as well in order to have their our continuous presence in post-spinning business as well.
Yeah, thank you, KK sir. Dhaval Shah.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Wanted to understand, the PLI details are out, and, given where the details are, how do you see that impacting the overall industry, and particularly for Voltas? I can see that, you applied for, or rather you've got for 3 categories that you're trying to look at in terms of components. How does it change for you when you're looking at it in that context?
Dhaval, let me answer first about the industry, and then I'll go particularly to the Voltas. If I look from the industry perspective, now the details are very much out, and you can see that all players have actually opted for 2 components very clearly, which is the heat exchangers and the plastic components, even including Voltas, which we applied for it. Some of the players have gone for a sheet metal work. Voltas has not actually opted for that kind of component, which means that the overall dynamic of the industry will undergo a change. Today, the largest heat exchangers being supplied by the OEMs, and you all know about the OEM names, so I'm not repeating for the sake of time and other stuff, which means that going forward in the next 2 to 3 years time frame, most of the manufacturers will at least have 50 to 60% of their requirement to source in-house, and the balance only will be sourced from the OEMs. And over a period of time, if they find that if the scale becomes the backward integration turns out to be a profitable one, probably you can see that they will further expand the heat exchanger capacity in order to meet the complete requirement. What it means that the dependent on the OEMs for this component will be disappearing or will be reduced substantially in the next 2 to 3 years time frame for the industry as such. Other component which I can talk about, people have applied for a plastic one. That's understandable, because if you are looking for your own ideas to have the manufacturing base in India, you have to have the plastic components in order to achieve those kind of scale as well as efficiency in that supply chain. So that was also given understand, and we were expecting that most of the players will opt for the same. Few players have opted for a sheet component, sheet metal work. Now sheet metal work is also a good component to have it. However, if you look from the perspective of the value addition, only few competitors have applied for it. And I can see the reason is because there is a low value addition when you look into the sheet metal works. And there are various players available today in the market if you were to go and still source the sheet metal works independently. Because what you need is the design, and this other work, the other thing is clearly available, similar to your IDU, which we talked about earlier. So which means that the overall dependence on the OEM for this kind of parts will come down. However, that doesn't mean the OEM going to lose the business, because the volume will be going to expand as we move forward. People are talking about some kind of capacities, but still we get some source from the outside. Furthermore, if you look from these fringe players, those who have not applied for this kind of scheme will continue to have dependence on the OEM in order to fulfill the requirement. So it will be a balanced one, but if you look from the manufacturer perspective, we will find the dependence on the OEM for this kind of components will certainly come down. If I now talk about the Voltas, Voltas has applied for three components, which you all rightly know about it. This, we have, I can say, the objective was very clear that we would like to have a self-dependency upon the heat exchangers. And with that objective, we applied for it. Plastic components is also a part of it as a strategy. We have applied for a fan also. That is largely because if you are having this IDU and the ODU in a factory setup, it is better to have from the perspective of the efficiency in supply chain and saving your logistic cost. It is better to have this fan as a part of your backward integration. So this is where I can say the value chain of the Voltas will be. However, it depends upon the capacity. The capacity what we are looking for is close to at least to meet our 50 to 60% requirements in the phase one. And on the success of it, we'll certainly expand our backward integration plan in order to cover our complete requirements. The Daikin is the player who has applied for a compressor. And I believe that I would like to leverage the technology which is available into their home countries. And it is good that, we have third player will be going for a compressor along with GMCC in Haile, who are planning to have their manufacturing, who are already having their manufacturing plan in India.
Sure. And can this eventually also boost, potential for exports out of India, to the neighboring countries or, even to developed markets? How do you look at that? And can that be a real potential because of
If I look from the export perspective, today also the many brands are doing the export business to the neighboring country, largely GCC, Nepal, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and all. As far as the developed country is concerned, probably we have to meet various standards in terms of the electrical components and all, which is not the difficult one. But I believe that if we can get a sustainability into this manufacturing and can reduce the price difference today what we have, because if you compare the price difference today between the country who is doing the export vis-a-vis India, price difference is around 50 to 20%. With this increased custom duty, as well as from the PLI scheme, probably government is trying to bridge this gap, which should bode well for the export as well. However, if I look though from the perspective of the today Indian market, probably the Indian market is so big that even though export may not materialize out of this PLI scheme, which government is looking for it, but by having the sales efficiency or a sales sustainability in terms of the value chain across all components will bring immense advantage to the industry.
Sure. My next question is in terms of trying to understand the composition of inventory. I wanted to understand the composition of inverter ACs versus fixed speed. Today we are at around 54% versus 46% last year. assessment from the industry earlier was that inverter adoption will be, you know, fairly aggressive incrementally too. How do you look at that? Is there a big cost differential because of which, you know, fixed speed will be, you know, still a large part of the market, or do you see that transition happening fairly quickly over the next few years? And what are the repercussions to, you know, the overall P&L in terms of profitability if that were to happen?
Look from the number from the perspective of the inverter, I would say that if I compare with the countries where the inverters have started earlier and the time taken by them to reach this kind of percentage, India is much ahead of the curve. The last 3 years, we have seen a huge upward trend for the inverter, and that actually has resulted in reduction in the component price for the inverter as well. Today, and as we look forward, if I take into consideration the window air conditioner, the penetration of the inverter is very low, and that amounts and that sector or that category still contributes around 22 to 25% of the industry volume, and that is largely impacting the overall inverter. Otherwise, if you look from the split air conditioner perspective, the ratio may go as high as 60-65%. Which means that, you know, the adoption of this technology or the inverter category is much faster in split, and that what the industry was expecting in order to move around. However, we are certain the controllers, which are the key components, probably has to undergo some kind of changes, technical changes, in order to sustain or withstand the volatility what we have in the power exchange. Because that is largely, a reason why inverter is not making sense in the beyond tier two cities where we have a power fluctuation is much on a higher side. I'm sure that the technology is going to work around this solution because India is a big market. And I'm aware about it. A lot of Indian companies or a lot of Indian manufacturers are working to ensure that the controller withstand all such kind of issues as we move forward. I'm sure that we are reasonably sure that if you look from the next 1 or 2 years time perspective on the future, you may find that inverter is even crossing 75-80% of the overall volume, leaving aside only a window, which will continue to have probably fixed speed because there the inverter is still not finding attraction among the consumers. In terms of the component pricing, obviously when you have a larger scale of a particular volume, particular category, your components price will also see a gradual reduction. And that's what we have seen in some of the components of the inverter. And by virtue of that, today the price difference between fixed speed and inverter actually got reduced to even less than 1,000. And if I look from a trend, 1,000-1,500, if I look from the trend in the metros in the tier one cities, you find that even when you walk down to any of the showrooms today in metro and tier one cities, all shelves are occupying with the inverter. You won't find any fixed speed air conditioner or even begin getting displayed over there, which means people have adopted in this two part of the country the larger inverter technology. Whereas for the other one, probably we have to gradually make some kind of progress in terms of the acceptability, more from the product side, knowing the voltage flexibility what we are seeing in India.
Sure. Thank you. I'll come back into it. Thanks.
Thank you, Dhaval. Deepak Gupta?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I joined the call a bit late, so it may be Manish, just wanted to check with you, you know, on the call the call, you had mentioned about the fact that price hikes had been taken on the air conditioner segment in the month of October, and you're finding it difficult to pass it on to dealers, distributors. If you could share some thoughts, you know, how the festive season has been because of that. Also, how is the competitive intensity in the market right now? While Voltas has done extremely well in terms of sustaining and improving its market share, what's your view on the competition scenario currently? Thank you.
So Deepak, if I look, let me answer the first price hike. When we say about the resistance of the dealer, the idea of conveying it is that it is not easily going through with the dealers, but we are committed to do this because we cannot continue to have the absorption of the increased input cost. Some of the brands may do at a later stage, but as a leader, probably we have to take this bold step in order to move forward. And considering that we have hiked or we have increased price almost by 4-5% in the beginning of the October. Now, whether it impacted the festival season or I won't see much, because if I look from the inventory perspective of the channel partner, knowing that there is a constraint on the supply chain side of the components, and more importantly, the festive season buying takes place from the channel partner much in advance. Channel partners were anyway having 30 to 45 days inventory with them to have this festival sale period or festival period to sell through. The real impact will be able to see in the month of December, November, and then December now, how the price increase being accepted, or I can say we'll be able to rolling out effectively across all channel partners. I'm sure that the competition will also do a price increase immediately after this festival, which got over. So you may see that the new prices from the competition is coming out between today or maybe in this coming week in order to roll out the new prices from this, on their side. So I won't see any major challenge. When the dealer will see that all brands are increasing it, obviously their tendency to keep the material will move towards the brand who is having the larger kind of space on the shelf and a good amount of turnover for the channel partner perspective. As far as the competition landscape is concerned, I was answering to one of your colleagues that it has the top six players or seven players have not seen any major kind of change. Quarterly, you may find some points up and down between the number three and number seven players, but largely it remains same, which means that the over a period of time, even the consumers as well as our channel partners are supporting the brand. And despite the various price hikes or whatever we can say about it being done by us, but that is well accepted in the mind of consumers for the product which they are eyeing for.
I hear you on that. Secondly, on the EMP segment, you know, while this quarter margins were disappointing, you know, I can see that, you know, you've scaled down your full year guidance for the EMP segment margins, you know, which used to be 6-7%, which you're looking to do it to 4-5%. What's the outlook for the segment? And are you really looking to disinvest this business given the fact that it is a part of a subsidiary?
Deepak, if I look from the margin perspective, the reason for getting it down, because the commodity price, which we are all seeing the unabated increase, will have some impact in the project business as well. And that's the reason we are toning down to a 4-5%. Although we always say you should not measure it from the quarter performance, because quarter performance will not give you a correct outlook and the result to be seen on an annualized basis. But and that too also, we are seeing that it will remain around 4-5% given the kind of commodity price. Although we have some kind of contracts, the price along with the price variation close, but till such time it is not being accepted by the customers. It is not prudent for any of the company to account for this price variation, whereas the cost gets accounted the moment I procure the material and start getting installation on the project side. So these are the reasons which is, I can say, having some kind of pressure on the EMP side. If I look from the perspective of the disinvestments and all, the very objective of getting this transfer to subsidiary company in order to have a focus on this particular business, and we are reasonably sure that if the more and more competition is getting reduced on this ground, only few players are left, and that will definitely give a good ground, in especially for those companies having the strength on the balance sheet and the kind of push the government is having on the infrastructure side, which certainly bodes well for the sector. However, in terms of whether any opportunity comes in the future for disinvestments, and if we can get a good value for the shareholders, probably will not be shying away in order to think about in this line of disinvestments. However, as I said, the first objective is to sustain or make stronger this business, knowing that the kind of push the government is having on the infrastructure side, as well as the competition landscape in which we are navigating through in this particular sector.
So I hear you. And my last question is on Volta Speco. You know, while it's commendable the kind of market share the company has managed to get in the refrigerator and washing machine and in the dishwasher segment, what's the outlook for this company for the next 5 years? When do you think this company can start breaking even? Any thoughts on this? Thank you.
Deepak, if I look from the outlook perspective, I'm sure the penetration level at which we all are, at which we have for all the categories, it bodes well for the industry. It works well for the category as well. And furthermore, we are seeing that the concept of premiumization also falling place in metros and tier one cities. I am sure that each one of you will admit and agree that in all our residents today, we are having a refrigerator in excess of 300 liter capacity, which otherwise a 5 to 8 years back, we all used to have less than 300, which means this category is not only expanding it in terms of the penetration perspective, but it's getting replaced with the premium model on a next change by the consumer, be even less than even the life of the unit, or maybe for any reason of the increased need on the consumer side, which means that this industry is going to grow up. And that's the purpose, that's the perspective we have decided to enter into this segment along with a joint venture partner. As far as the break-even is concerned, we are always committed and driven by the objective that we should be able to do a break-even by 24-25, along with our other objective of 10% market share. Although the pandemic has changed some kind of, the yardstick, however, we have internally not changed any of our objectives, and we are still looking for break even in 24-25 with the 10% market share.
Sure, great. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deepak.
Siddharth, I just have one request that probably we have to disconnect this call sharp at 10:30 because I have a back to back call with my management at 10:30.
Yeah, no problem, sir. No problem. Any of our clients with questions?
So we have the next question from Amar Inania from Nippon Asset Management. Amar?
Thank you, Rahul. Hi, Manish.
Hi, Amar.
Manish, just a couple of questions from the industry side. What is the current size of the industry we are seeing, and when do we see that we will be reaching back to the 2019 level of 7 million plus pieces? That's one. Secondly, that it's been almost 18 months now that import curbs have been imposed on fully built units as such. So what kind of import substitution we have already achieved as an industry on that part, and how much more is pending to be substituted from Indian manufacturers? That is two from the industry side, and then I'll have a couple of questions from the Voltas person. I'll come back on that.
Okay. So, Amber, in fact, I missed out your first question. What was the first question?
The industry size and...
Right. So, industry size, if I look from the 1920 perspective, it was a bumper year for the industry. The industry was growing in excess of 30% till February 2020 before we hit by a pandemic situation. If I look from that perspective, and even looking into the COVID situations continuously flowing into 21-22, probably the year March 22 will be coming closer to the industry level of 2019. Obviously, there has to be a growth in the volume between 2021 to 21-22. And to our reading of the situation, we will come closer to a industry level of 2019 once we complete the March 22. That is a today situation, reading the kind of demand what we are seeing from the consumer side, and not expecting the country has to go into any third wave of the COVID situations, given our large vaccination program and kind of progress we are making on this front. So this is the answer. Probably you can see that we are coming closer to a 6.8 to 6.9 million once we complete to March 2022, which is much closer to a 2019 level where we have in that particular year before we hit by the pandemic situation. If I look from your second question answer perspective, import substitution, if I look from the industry perspective, I'm sure that industry, even though before curb has come up, most of the top players have reduced their dependence on the complete built unit on the import side. The complete built unit model was largely being followed by the fringe players, by the private level players, or for some of the players, including even Voltas at point of time, where we find the scale doesn't make sense for us to have those kind of units manufactured in India, which means that the dependence of the industry over the complete built unit was anyway being addressed even before curb has come up. Otherwise, you must have seen a lot of hua and ha from the industry perspective when this curb been introduced by the government. But it went through smoothly, which clearly gives indication that all players have their plan as an alternative plan in order to come out from this kind of import restriction. However, in terms of the substitution, what you talk about it, obviously the some of the components for which we do not have a value chain in India, and we all know those components are largely our compressors and the controllers, and to a certain extent motors as well. For this, the dependence has still been there on the overseas market. However, if I want to give you a percentage, the percentage of the compressor may be running as high as 80-85%, because the two players today in India are not able to make it up for the entire requirement of the industry, for the current capacities what they have. If I look from the controller perspective, the dependence would be reducing, getting reduced to even, I can say, it means that by 30%, which means 70%, the industry should be able to source locally in the next 15 to 18 months time frame. Similarly, for the motor frames, you find that the self-dependency also will come by virtue of the PLI scheme, because many players have applied for a motor as well. And we can see the value chain also developing in India. So if I look from the next 15 to 18 months down the line for the industry, probably you find that the other than compressor, probably we should have a self-sufficiency or a complete substitution from import to an indigenization kind of model for players in the industry to source their components from the manufacturers. Compressors probably will take some larger time, knowing that the limited players are coming with the capacity, as well as the industry requirement is so huge. Even though I put the capacities of all four players or three players who have applied for this or who are working on this direction, will fall short of the industry requirements, considering the refrigeration, commercial refrigerator, and air conditioner units what we are in for.
Okay. Secondly, for the upcoming summer season, we must have already started procurement as well as the planning for that. Given the current input cost scenario, approximately what kind of price hike we or the industry need to take to maintain the margins at the current level or to mitigate this input cost increase which has happened in the recent past?
Ambar, if I look from the industry perspective, the current sourcing for the industry started doing it. Probably with some kind of lag or some kind of phase in which the material is getting inverted, and the kind of price which we are seeing today, because we have seen some kind of stoppage in terms of the commodity price. Probably today, with some little price hike of 5-6%, the industry should be able to sustain the increased input cost for the season, provided we are not seeing any kind of increase further in the key component price. So this is what the reading we have today. Probably the only time we'll say, as we see the commodity prices, how it's moving up, whether we require to do any further price hike or we can continue with the price hike what we announced from the Voltas perspective, and with the industry also will announce sooner or later after the festival season gets over.
And lastly, from my side, on the demand scenario, now given the so much positivity we are seeing from the real estate side on the new housing sale, primarily on the urban centers, last couple of years, we have seen most of the demand coming in or the incremental higher demand coming in from the tier 4-5 cities. But now when we are seeing that new housing sale has picked up in the urban centers or tier 1-2 cities, are we seeing any change or any shift in the demand pattern for the industry and for ourselves, in terms of more demand coming in from the urban centers rather than the tier 4-5 towns? Or how is there any trend change we are seeing or we are anticipating in the industry compared to the previous years?
So if I look from the real estate perspective, and to my reading, you can correct me, the affordable housing sector is growing rapidly compared to the other normal one. However, we have seen good traction coming into the normal real estate industry or normal residential real estate market as well. Obviously, this bodes well for the industry as far as the demand is concerned, because what we have seen one good trend for the last 2 to 3 years is that the more and more residential houses or the people would like to have the air conditioner not only in the bedroom, which was the original phenomenon, but to have the air conditioner in the dining area as well as in the living room, which means that now all your entire residential unit, living aside the kitchens, probably are having their need of the air conditioner, at least in metro cities. And I'm sure this trend will continue or will pass on to the tier 1 cities as well as we move forward. So that goes well as far as the trend of the or the choice of the customer is or the behavior of the customer, I can say, on the other side. At the same time, the industry also working in a lot of technology, and you all know, we talk about the multiple VRS. What it means that you have only one outdoor unit, but if you have a residential unit size of 900 square feet, the one outdoor unit can take care of the three air conditioner. So you don't require to invest more, or don't require to occupy the space more for the outdoor unit. So technology also is helping out, and furthermore, the behavior of the customer, along with the real estate recovery, we'll see some kind of, will go well with the industry, and we should get better benefit out of this.
That's helpful. Thank you, Manish.
Yeah, thanks, Amrit. Siddharth, I can take only last question now. We are at 10:20.
Sure, sir. Any participant would like to ask a question? You may unmute yourself and ask. Rahul, did you have one?
If none are there, I can say thank you to all of you and extending the season greetings to all of you.
Sure, sir.
Yeah, so on behalf of Haitong Securities, I would like to thank you. And
Vaibhav
for
unmute yourself.
Siddharth, you are on mute.
Okay, just a second, sir.
No, you are still on mute.
Yeah. On behalf of Haitong Securities, I would like to thank
you. Siddharth, you are still on mute. We are not able to hear you.
Yeah.
Now is it fine?
Let me take this opportunity to thank everybody that we are not able to hear you.
Yeah.
So, Manish, sir, thank you very much for taking time, immediately after Diwali, the first time on. So, thank you very much to you, and thanks all the participants for taking time out today. Thanks, and have a good day.
Thanks, and wish all of you a good day.
Thank you, sir.